Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July. Coming up today, instead of solving many crises like homelessness, substance abuse, some leaders are content with just letting the issues fester and detouring around them. We'll have a couple examples of that. Also, cocaine found in the White House. Whose is it? How did it get there? And why is the media covering it with such kid gloves? I think the answer is obvious, but we'll dive into it. Also, the unbelievable virtue signaling of Ben and Jerry's. Plus, if the UFOs are, yes, I'm talking about UFOs again. If they're coming to Washington State second. What state in the union are they going to come to first? We'll discuss that later on. Reminder, if you have not become an Undivided subscriber already, please do so. You get access to our awesome Sunday show, Sundays with Subscribers, including other bonus content, and you help support the mission and the movement to give common sense a comeback. Sign up at UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com. It's just $5 a month to help instill sanity back into the news and politics. Also a reminder, we are going to have our final meet and greet, an opportunity for you to sign Referendum 101 to fight for parental rights in Washington. That is happening this Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. in Enumclaw at Headworks Brewing. 3 to 6 p.m. this Friday, July 7th. And in fact, afterward, you know, bring the kids, bring the family, because afterwards there's a classic car cruise through downtown Enumclaw. And Nicole, we've been invited to participate in a classic automobile.
Wait, in a mobile? What do you mean?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have a fancy classic car, so
somebody invited us to ride in theirs.
Oh,
in the parade.
Oh, wow.
After our meet and greet signing.
What time is the actual parade?
It starts at like 7.
Oh, wow.
So we have an hour, get all liquored up, not too much, because okay. We're responsible
for
adults.
Sure.
Have one beer
okay.
at Headworks, get more than 1,000 signatures for Referendum 101, which is our goal, and then we'll hit the classic car cruise.
Wow.
And we'll wave. Can you? I got my wave down. Oh, thank you for coming. Oh, good to see you. It'll be great.
Isn't that what you do? Just do that.
Yeah, you just, good. Okay. All right, it'll be fun.
Okay,
so
cool.
Speaking of upcoming events, I mean, obviously our meet and greet is the premier event happening across the entire state of Washington in the next month at least. However, there is a lesser known event happening, and that is the MLB All-Star Game, which will be gearing up here in a couple days in Seattle. We've been talking about it because I have some genuine fears about the public safety situation in downtown Seattle, about the drug crisis in downtown Seattle, and just the all-around visitability of Seattle right now, and whether this is the time for the eyes of the world to be on us. Anyway, I hope it goes well, but there is this consistent theme that's been playing out. We have two stories that speak to this theme very well, and that is this rush to, instead of working to truly solve issues like public safety, homelessness, substance abuse, mental health, we just find ways to sort of sweep it aside so people don't notice, or to detour or divert around it. And I was reminded of this on this latest episode of Sundays with Subscribers just a few days ago. We had on John Scholes of the Downtown Seattle Association, which looks out for the business interests of downtown. And I was asking him a pretty clear question about, well, what are you going to do about Third Avenue? What are you going to do about the drug use and the crime on Third Avenue when you have people who are going to be in town for the MLB All-Star Game? And here's what John told me. Has there been any assurance made or any request made of the city that, hey, you know, Third Avenue has to be cleaned up? There can't be people sitting around using drugs. Has there been like an effort to say we're sweeping all that out before the game?
Well, there's been a walking path that's been developed from the hotels in the retail core where a lot of folks will be staying, including players and their families, down to T-Mobile and Lumen Field, where Play Ball Park, the Fan Fest, will be taking place. And that's really just to make it easy for folks to know how to get from where they're staying to where the festivities are. So that's along 2nd and 4th Avenue. So I expect to see a greater number of ambassadors, both our own team, but also ambassadors that are there to support the All-Star Game and Week, help people find their way. It's going to be branded so people sort of have a logical place. They don't have to have their map out or their phone out and they know where to go. So we want to make that a safe and clean and delightful walking path for fans.
Huh. So I ask a question about what are they going to do about Third Avenue? And the answer is, oh, we're going to have a marked walking path that's going to take people on Second Avenue and Fourth Avenue. So truly, it's just a detour around the destruction and chaos in the worst part of downtown Seattle. And also by having this marked walking path for people who are visiting the city for the MLB All-Star Game, then you can focus your police resources and your cleanup to make sure there's no trash on that walking path. So if somebody's walking, you know, happily in town for the MLB All-Star Game from the hotels in downtown Seattle, they can just follow the nice little yellow brick road all the way and they can avoid the fentanyl-laced road. And to me, I get it. We want this to be a good event for Seattle. I want that for business owners as well. But don't you think it's a little absurd that not only are we sort of sweeping the issue aside for the time being, but actually creating a physical path around the worst parts of downtown Seattle? That's how bad things have gotten. An actual marked path to say, hey, take this route so you don't take that route. It's really quite unreal. And in a similar vein, our friend Jonathan Cho, who covers homelessness for Discovery Institute, he's been covering the issue related to a homeless encampment in Burien, which is south of Seattle, if you're not familiar. And, you know, there's some woke members of like the Burien City Council and other entities who are trying to help this homeless camp basically survive in the city and move it from place to place. But Burien had an annual 4th of July parade, as many cities do. And they had to change the route. Well, they didn't have to. They decided to change the route of the 4th of July parade so it did not go past a homeless encampment that's been causing a bunch of issues in the heart of the city. Here's the story that Jonathan Cho did.
Families, children, and tourists usually line downtown streets to get a glimpse of the floats and marching bands. But this year, the parade route is being changed.
For everyone's safety.
To avoid seeing this. A homeless encampment that's now close to 20 tents deep.
So it's best just to err on caution.
Set up on Southwest 152nd Street near the entrance of Grocery Outlet and Dollar Tree.
I don't believe it should be in our downtown commercial area.
Deborah George leads Discover Burien, a coalition of business owners responsible for making this last-minute decision. George says they had no other choice but to alter the parade route.
We're going to turn left on 4th. And just head straight into Town Square Park.
Since the city is refusing to remove the encampment, that's because Burien does not have an illegal camping ordinance, except at public parks.
I mean, it's ugly and it's not safe. We get a lot of crazy people.
It's led to several unintended consequences. Just in the past few weeks, this inferno engulfed multiple tents. Nearby business owners say they're struggling with a spike in thefts related to this encampment.
How do you run a business like this?
Oh, it's hard. I got customers that don't want to come in. They don't feel safe coming around here no more, you know?
What you got your little punk ass phone for, bitch?
People with clear signs of mental illness are roaming this area more often. And the open-air drug use is out of control.
This is a crisis moment.
During my interview with Mayor Sophia Aragon, several men were brazenly smoking fentanyl right behind her.
The open-air drug use, I mean, you see it with your own eyes.
Yes.
Aragon says creating a new ordinance to address this situation will be up for discussion, but there are no assurances it passes since the council is so divided on this issue.
Just wish that we could, there are better ways to work together in the community and not have people pointing fingers.
Simply put, some council members believe they have to live alongside this situation until the city can get everyone housed or find a space for a sanctioned encampment.
I spoke with staff and there is no intention of doing a sweep anytime soon.
But Stephanie Morris says the homeless need to be moved right now, since the ones out here have already rejected help. And others from outside the city keep moving into this encampment.
They were all offered beds. They were all offered services.
This is going to be a Korean all-you-can-eat barbecue.
George says the council's differences in ideology keep getting in the way of common sense solutions.
Unfortunately, we're taking some hits because this has become such a political game around here.
Yeah, that's from our friend Jonathan Cho. You can watch his work at fixhomelessness.org. Follow him on Twitter at Cho Show. But look, this is ridiculous. I don't blame the businesses. I don't blame the businesses in downtown Seattle who are like, hey, can you create a walking path for people to follow that goes around the people dying on the sidewalks of overdoses? I don't blame the businesses in Burien for saying, hey, we're having this parade and there's going to be kids there, so let's alter the route so it goes around and away from the homeless encampment where there's open air drug use and there's people in the throes of a mental health crisis. I don't blame the businesses. But at some point we have to wake up and realize that diversions, detours, they are a distraction from the problem. And what we should all be shooting for, what we should all be pushing for is a Seattle, is a Burien, is a King County, is a Washington State where you don't have to create detours. Where you can have the dang 4th of July parade wherever you want it and not be worried about the safety of children. Where people can come to what used to be a beautiful, gorgeous city to go to the MLB All-Star game with their kids and not have to follow a little path that's been set there by the city so that they can be safe. At some point, there has to be a give where we realize that's not normal, that's not healthy, that's not what happens in a world-class city or a world-class state, and we've got to do something about it. And the only way to do something about it is at the ballot. The only way to do something about it is at the ballot. Okay, speaking of the ballot, I remember in 2020 when Joe Biden said he was going to restore, what did he say? Civility, decency to the White House. Well, I'm sure you heard, that wasn't a snort, by the way. That was a different kind of bodily noise. I just wanted you to know. So here's a story from over the weekend. Secret Service test confirms cocaine found at the White House, spokesman says. So originally this was only making the rounds on kind of conservative Twitter where there were some accounts of varying levels of credibility that were saying, oh, there was cocaine found in the White House. I'm like, I won't rule it out, but I'm not convinced yet. And then, of course, it was confirmed by the Secret Service. And so you had outlets reporting it. It has indeed been tested. No question at all. Cocaine found in the White House. Meghan McCain had the most accurate, truthful tweet about this whole endeavor and the media coverage of it. Here it is from Meghan McCain. No Republican president could have someone pose topless on the White House lawn. Remember the trans person who took their top off and jiggled their boobies. So let me read that again. No Republican president could have someone pose topless at the White House lawn at an official event followed by cocaine being found in the White House and not have the media just go absolutely batshit insane. 100%. All facts, no fiction in that tweet. Can you imagine if someone had been topless at an official event under Trump on the White House lawn, and if then immediately following that, cocaine was found in the White House? You certainly wouldn't have CNN anchors treating the story like this.
It was suspected. The field test said cocaine.
Yeah.
Now these more conclusive lab tests, yeah.
I would like to know blow by blow who was responsible for this.
Too soon.
There's no too soon. On this. No one was injured, oh, as far as we know. And it's an illicit drug at the White House. Why can't you actually have a bit of fun with it?
I don't believe in fun.
No, he doesn't.
Blow by blow. No one was injured. Oh, no one was injured that we know of. It's an illicit drug at the White House. Why can't we have a little bit of fun with it? Sure, you can have a little bit of fun with it, but you wouldn't have had any fun with it if it happened under President Trump. And I don't think it's something to have fun about. But the issue here is consistency, is how would you cover it for one president versus another president? There's no doubt in my mind that if CNN had laughed it off, if it happened in the Trump White House, their anchors would be back on the air today profusely apologizing. And I will give credit to a few mainstream anchors who treated the situation with the seriousness that it deserved. Here's Andrea Mitchell.
This is so unusual. You and I have covered the White House for years. I can't even fathom anything like this having been found before in the West Wing, and I go back to the 70s at the White House. So this is pretty wild.
Yeah. And the reporter who she's talking to there, and this was also a theme, MSNBC, CNN, where they were almost creating excuses in their minds as to the least nefarious way that cocaine could have found its way into the White House. They weren't jumping to the worst possible scenarios, which we'll get to in a moment. They were thinking, what are the most convenient reasons that can distance this situation from President Biden or, let's say, President Biden's family members? Here's that reporter.
This was found, we understand, in a highly trafficked common area of the West Wing. It's an area where individuals, especially visitors, individuals who may be coming for instance, a private tour, might have been asked to leave some of their personal belongings before heading into more sensitive areas of the West Wing, which of course includes the president's, the vice president's office, some of the most senior officials' offices, as well as the press team.
Yeah, and look, I don't mind that nuance. I don't mind the nuance that he brought to that reporting to help those of us who've never been in these areas of the White House understand who has access to those areas. The fact that, yes, it could be someone who came in for a private tour. It could be a member of the press. It could be members of the administration. I don't mind the nuance. I question whether that level of nuance would have been used if it happened not only under a Republican president like former President Donald Trump, but if it happened under a Republican president who had a son who has had very high-profile instances of substance abuse, including pictures, videos of substance abuse, and a documented history of cocaine use. For the record, I'm not convinced. I don't immediately go to, oh, it's Hunter Biden's cocaine. I don't immediately rule it out. But I think there are two very drastic rationales for this. Either 100% it's Hunter's, no questions asked. Or, oh, it was probably just someone who threw it over the fence at the White House to try to frame Joe Biden. And this is why I go back to, we talk about it all the time on the podcast, actions before affiliation. Actions before affiliation. How would you feel about a story? How would the media cover a story without any consideration for the political party of those involved? And I really think that it is completely legitimate in the course of talking about cocaine at the White House to talk about Hunter Biden. And not to ignore the elephant in the room and to say, hey, as long as we're throwing out scenarios for how this cocaine could have gotten the White House, visitor, press member, staffer, yeah, we ought to talk about the fact that Hunter Biden, who is a documented drug abuser, has not only been in the White House recently, he was also at the White House watching fireworks right after this news came out, as if the Biden family and President Biden has no care or concern for the optics of that. At a time, cocaine's found at the White House. Conservative media, at least, is pointing the finger at Hunter Biden, although they have no proof that it's Hunter Biden's cocaine. Although, like I said, I wouldn't rule it out. And then it's like, oh, well, let's have Hunter Biden come with the kids at the White House. It's like, maybe you tell Hunter to stay home for a few days. Maybe, wait, does he live at the White House? I don't even know if he lives at the White House. I don't think he does. Maybe you tell Hunter just to lay low for a few days.
I don't even think Biden lives there.
Oh, you don't? He probably does. Well, I mean, he's gone a lot.
Yeah, he's gone a lot.
And I hate to laugh about it, but it's like the double standard is insane. Is insane. I would hope that conservative media, Fox News, would take it very, very seriously if it happened under a Republican president. I don't know if they would or if they would do the same thing that CNN, MSNBC did and try to find any excuse under the book that didn't directly tie it to the president or I don't think it's Joe Biden's cocaine or a member of the president's family. But this is how we act when politics are involved. And again, CNN should be ashamed of itself for making jokes about it, laughing about it. They'd never have done it under Donald Trump. I am open to hearing any evidence as to who the cocaine actually belongs to. I want to know. I actually asked you guys in a poll, do you actually think the cocaine was Hunter's? 64% of you said yes. 36% said no. I don't know whose cocaine it is. Could be Hunter's. Could be a visitor's. Could be a member of the press. Although I'm curious. Now it's got me thinking, what member of the media would it be that's packing cocaine around? But, and I also, I don't find it particularly unusual that people involved in politics in Washington, D.C. might be using cocaine. I mean, that doesn't sound like the craziest thing in the world to me. It obviously has no place in the White House. But I think we automatically jump to the rationale that does the most damage to the party we dislike. And I just don't think that that's a healthy place to be. Okay, coming up next, Ben and Jerry's. Man, do I have to boycott Ben and Jerry's? I probably should boycott. Actually, yeah, you know what? Never eating Ben and Jerry's again. This is the only thing that'll get me off the Americone dream, the Ben and Jerry, because I shouldn't be eating it anyway. But Ben and Jerry's outrageous, outrageous virtue signaling related to stolen land. They want us to reclaim stolen land on behalf of Native Americans, and they have a monument that they think we should start with. That's coming up next in our segment Unbelievable. But first, we've been talking about our friend Wes Jones with Wes Jones and Associates. He and his team have an awesome, innovative marketing strategy to make sure that your house is positioned to get the most possible offers, the highest highest price, the fewest contingencies. He and I also chatted about their listing boost concierge service, which is really cool because I think it takes away one of the most stressful parts about selling your home. And that is, gosh, do I have to do stuff to fix it up? Do I have to take on all these projects just to make sure that my home is better off when I put it on the market? Sometimes Wes Jones might tell you yes, but he and his team can take over that whole process for you, and they can even front the money for you up front.
So we're going to come in, number one, and we're going to inspect a home, do a pre-inspection. We're going to find out all those little hidden bugs that, you know, a buyer may be concerned with. And if a seller wants to do some cosmetic updates, you know, whether it's flooring, whether it's lighting, countertops, even a kitchen, we're going to help guide them through that. So the Listing Boost Concierge Service, what we can do is we can project manage those rehab projects. We have a list of contractors and preferred vendors that we like to work with and have a ton of experience with. And we'll take that off a seller's hands. We'll go ahead and run that project for them. And we even have some options where they can pay at closing out of their net proceeds.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great service. And also, especially if you're moving out of state or something and you got to go and you're like, wow, they can help manage those projects. So I can just leave it in Wes Jones's hands and things are going to be good. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Go check them out. Contact them if you have any questions about the state of the market, etc. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Okay, let's do it. Let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Ben and Jerry's. Oh, I mean, to say I haven't eaten a pint of fish food here and there, of Americone Dream, those are just some of my favorite flavors of a pint
half-baked.
Of Ben and Jerry's. Half baked. But now no more. No more. I'm going to go straight Bud Light with Ben and Jerry's because their virtue signaling has just gotten out of control. One of my least favorite virtue signals is the stolen land stuff. One of my least favorite. You know, when they've got kids taking stolen land, reciting stolen land
pledges
in school, before Seattle City Council meetings when they start by acknowledging, oh, we're on stolen land. I say the same thing every time. Give it back. Then give it back. If you want a virtue signal and say, we're on stolen land, then give it back. Give back whatever property you might own. The city of Seattle could give back whatever city it owns. It could turn over Seattle City Hall to whatever native tribe it wants to. But of course, they're never going to give it back. They just want a virtue signal. They don't actually want to do anything about it. But Ben and Jerry's does. It's not just about saying we're on stolen land. We're making ice cream on stolen land, you know. They really want you to take action, to return some of that land to Native Americans. So this is the tweet from Ben and Jerry's, the 4th of July. It's high time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land and commit to returning it. Learn more and take action now. And they put a little link there. And so I'm thinking, wow, they're going to give up all of their property, all of the ice cream shops that they've got. They're going to turn over proceeds from the sale of their fish food and their, what was yours, Nicole?
Half-baked.
They're going to turn that over to the indigenous people of this country, to Native Americans. They're going to give away the land where their factory is. I was like, wow, I'm really impressed. Except that's not what they want to do, of course. Ben and Jerry's has an idea for the first land that they want to help give back to Native Americans, and it happens to be Mount Rushmore. They say the U.S. was founded on stolen indigenous land. This July 4th, let's commit to returning it. And it says, all the 4th of July, who doesn't love a good parade, some tasty barbecue, and a stirring fireworks display? The only problem with all that, though, is that it can distract from an essential truth about this nation's birth. The U.S. was founded on stolen indigenous land. This year, let's commit to returning it. Here's why we need to start with Mount Rushmore. First of all, What are they going to do with Mount Rushmore if they get it back? Are they going to...
Blow it up?
What do you do with the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got presidents on there that I imagine they don't particularly like because... And look, we did take the land from Native Americans.
Right.
I'm not denying that. Mm-hmm, we took the land from Native Americans. We did... And I'm not defending the atrocities committed against Native Americans. The people who came to this country did what many other conquerors have done, and they took the land by force. I'm not going to deny any of that. But the idea that an ice cream company thinks that we ought to start by giving back stolen land, except none of the land that they own, none of the property they own.
Or actually usable land.
That we're going to give back Mount Rushmore to the Native Americans, which is engraved with heads of American presidents, is virtue signaling at its finest. And it's absolutely unbelievable. Now, again, if they put their money where their mouth is and they said, we're going to start with all of our proceeds and profits and any land that we own, we're going to give it back to the Native Americans, then they wanted to go after Mount Rushmore, fine. I'd be like, wow, good for you. You're really, really doing, you're practicing what you preach. But of course, no one who actually, I would like to find one story, Nicole.
Okay.
One story of someone who actually returned their personal land to Native Americans. There's got to be one, right? I mean, think of how many people.
Do you think there is? I think it's all virtue signaling. I don't think there is an example of
it. How many entities, even at the Kraken game, right? Don't they have a land acknowledgement at the beginning of Kraken games?
Yes.
Fine, then give back the pledge. Give the climate pledge back.
Mm-hmm.
That's so dumb.
Yep.
I have to imagine it's even annoying for Native Americans.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for them, but my niece's graduation, there were some Native Americans that got up and did the pledge themselves. So,
if Elizabeth Warren can speak for Native Americans, I can too.
Okay.
Wouldn't you be annoyed if somebody stole something from you?
Right.
Like if I stole something and they just from you.
Mentioned it.
I stole your cat.
Yeah.
And I kept saying publicly,
acknowledging
that this is Nicole's cat. I stole it. I stole this cat.
That's the snort. Oh, I have
and,
it now.
Yeah, you have the snort jar. Okay, give you some money later. But then I never gave it back to you.
Right.
But I kept being sanctimonious and telling people, I want to acknowledge that I thieved, is that a word, this cat from Nicole.
Yep.
She can't have it back.
Nope.
But it is stolen.
Yeah, or my grandparents stole it, and I'm not giving it back.
Yeah, so dumb. So I hate to do this, although I shouldn't be eating Ben and Jerry's anyway. So this mm-hmm. might make it easier.
No cherry Garcia for you.
No, yeah. No cherry. That's not. I don't like the cherry Garcia.
I don't either, but it's a good name.
Fish food, all of that, half baked. Mm-hmm. No more. I'm going to save myself the probably 200 grams of sugar a pint and say no more. I'm taking a stand on this stolen land. All right. That has been our segment. Unbelievable. Okay. Coming up next, Biden's student loan bailout, as you know, is no more. SCOTUS had a bunch of rulings. We talked about a few of them earlier this week. We're going to dive into that one. However, he wants you to know that there's another element of that program that still very much exists, and he's going to tell you exactly where you can go to learn more about it. But first, we've been talking about our friends at First Mark Insurance, and I was reminded of this last week when we heard from a woman who said she took the First Mark Challenge. She's saving $100 a month. And it came up in the conversation about gas prices, the long-term care tax taking effect. Your money's not going as far and you have less of it because the government's taking it out for a long-term care program you probably didn't want in the first place. And so, and I realize that this is an ad we do on the podcast, but if that is really straining your budget, do the First Mark Challenge like Mike and I did. I mean, Mike and I took the First Mark Challenge. We'd heard stories about, you know, thousands of people who've taken that challenge and ended up saving a bunch of money on their insurance every year. So this really is a very real way. The First Mark Challenge doesn't cost you anything. You do it for free. You never pay First Mark anything. And there's really only a couple options. Either they say, hey, your insurance that you've got right now is actually just fine. You're getting a good value. Or they can save you a bunch of money. Mike and I, in our case, we ended up getting much better insurance for about the same price. Here's Dave Taylor with First Mark.
So the risk is if you get an auto accident and you don't have enough coverage, you get in an auto accident that's your fault and you don't have enough coverage, then they can come after you personally for any additional amounts over and above your coverage limit. And that means things like your retirement plan or come after your equity in your home or garnish your wages. So it's a big thing. And like with you and Mike, I just think most people haven't had someone take the time to explain it to them in terms they can understand and show them the how inexpensive it is to actually get the correct coverage.
Yeah, and you could get better coverage for less money as well. That has happened. I've heard those stories from people who've taken the FirstMark challenge, become members of the FirstMark family. So I say this in all seriousness. If the strain of gas prices is really hurting your budget, the long-term care tax, which is taking 58 cents out of every $100 you make out of your paycheck, the FirstMark challenge is a great opportunity to see if you can save money on your home insurance, on your car insurance, on both. And it just takes a little bit of time. Doesn't cost you anything. So visit FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. They work for you. Okay, let's step outside of Washington State for a moment. Poor Biden. His long-promised student loan relief is no more. The U.S. Supreme Court rejects the student loan debt plan. And actually, it would have impacted, according to the Seattle Times, about 700,000 people in Washington. I'm kind of glad this got knocked down because then my moral compass isn't going to be challenged because I still have some student loans. I went to an out-of-state university. It was very expensive. And I was like, wow, I am not in favor of student loan forgiveness. However, if Uncle Sam is knocking on my door offering to wipe it away, I have to do the morally correct thing. So I don't think I would have applied for it on the principle of the matter, but now I don't have to make that decision. So this is not a surprise. Even Nancy Pelosi, what I loved about the Supreme Court ruling, they used Nancy Pelosi's own words. Were, remember Nancy Pelosi, you know, Biden was getting a lot of pushback for, oh, you should end student loan debt, people are suffering. And Nancy's like, well, the president cannot do that. That would have to be an act of Congress. And of course, she's right. And that is what the Supreme Court said. And they used Nancy Pelosi's own words against President Joe Biden's plan. President Joe Biden came out and he said, oh, the Supreme Court misinterpreted the Constitution, whatever. The president never had the power to do this. This is something that he promised ahead of a midterm election that was not looking good for Democrats. I think that Biden always knew that it was going to be struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, but they promised people things so they could get votes. It was essentially used as a bribe, and now it's been knocked down. And of course, he would go to blame conservatives and Republicans. However, just so you know, there are still some people that can get help, and that includes individuals who go to work in law enforcement and public sector and teachers. And if that is you, good news is Joe Biden had some specific directions on where you can go to see if you still benefit from some student loan relief.
By the way, the program is still there. You ought to contact us to make sure you know exactly how to qualify.
Yeah, go to, oh, I don't know the website. Just contact us. Just send a letter, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Just knock on the door. Don't bring cocaine.
Just
knock on the door. Contact us. Just give them a phone call. Nicole, you fit a UFO story in today. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I love the UFO stories. I'm just, you know, half of Seattle already thinks I'm an unhinged lunatic anyway. And so you're all going to be wrong about that when the UFOs come, which I'm ready for it. There was an interesting article that talked about the rankings state by state for UFO sightings. Where do you guys think Washington is? Well, now Nicole ruined
it. Well, yeah.
Good job, Nicole. From MyNorthwest.com, data shows Washington State number 2 with most UFO sightings. What do you guys think is number 1? See, if I didn't already know, I would say Alaska, because I know Alaska's got this weird triangle.
Okay.
The Alaska Triangle.
Interesting.
There's a lot of UFO activity there, alleged.
I had no idea. If I was guessing, I would have gone New Mexico, the Area 51 type, you know, people on edge down there anyway or something.
Or like Skinwalker Ranch.
Right.
Vermont. Vermont's number 1.
Yeah. And actually, I think this is so interesting that Texas is so low on that.
Texas is like one of the lowest instances. Well, I think that's just because they don't care. They're like, shoot it out of the sky.
I don't know why this is so interesting to me, but Montana and Oregon are up there with us, and Alaska is pretty high.
Yeah, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine.
But you see how they're they're kind of in the same areas, right?
Oh,
up at the top.
Hot spots. So,
yeah, interesting.
Why did I put this on a show called Undivided? I don't know. Because I like talking about UFOs, and I honestly, well, you know, I do know. Because it's the only thing that can unite us, is an alien invasion. And you know what I watched yesterday?
Independence Day?
I did.
I love that movie.
Greatest presidential speech in American history.
Really? Yeah.
Fake one. But I really think, and then there's the second Independence Day, which is like, I don't remember I watched both of them. Because I was on 4th of July, if I don't know if you saw my Instagram, I just spend 12 hours huddled with our dog, Mackenzie, who is miserable during fireworks.
So sad.
Just like climbing on you, wants to be in your skin, panting, shaking, nothing works, medication, drugs, noise, nothing works. But anyway, so I watched both of the Independence Days, and I think they're right. They, you know, after they won the first Independence Day, the second one talks about how it ushered the country into an unprecedented, and the world into an unprecedented period of, what do you call it?
Unity.
Unity. Thank you. So yeah, that's why I talk about UFOs on Undivided, because I think it's the only thing that can truly make us. It's an alien invasion is our only hope to love each other again. Okay, we're going to get to your questions and comments from the live stream coming up next. But first, I'm going to talk about Eastside Weight Loss Clinic, eastsideweightlossclinic.com, because I personally had wonderful results from the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan. I'm down 36 pounds. I'm feeling great before my wedding. I'm excited. My wedding dress should be ready soon for me to try on. Woo, can't wait. And I just feel much better, more energetic, except today because I stayed up all night with Mackenzie losing it over fireworks. But just feeling so much better. And I've heard from a lot of you who've had great results, who I've met at some of the meet and greets that we've done. And so I love hearing those stories. Continue to send them in. Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan, it's not magic, but you don't have to count calories. There's no strenuous workout routine. There's no prepackaged meals that you have to buy. It really does teach you how to eat the correct foods in the correct portions and then keep it off. I mean, I lost all that weight and haven't gained it back. And so I feel really confident that I'm going to be able to have lasting results. So eastsideweightlossclinic.com, eastsideweightlossclinic.com. It's really easy. Go there, schedule a free 15-minute consultation. You can do the whole thing virtually, never have to step foot in their office. It's really, really easy. And Dr. Ryan Coogan is awesome. He's great. So eastsideweightlossclinic.com. Okay, let's get to some questions and comments. Never a lot of questions from you guys. A lot of comments. You don't have any questions for me? On my comment about the yellow brick road in Seattle that they're putting in so people don't have to go down Third Avenue, Daryl says, but remember, the yellow brick road went through poppy fields, so your description is accurate. On Ben and Jerry's, Matthew says, I haven't seen Ben and Jerry's commitment to give back their land, their headquarters, factories, and stores. Pretty easy to boycott when there are plenty of other ice creams in the frozen section. That's true. I wonder what some good, like Tillamook, what are some good frozen treat brands? Oh, Whidbey Island. Whidbey Island ice cream. They've got those really good bars that are just like luscious. We'll find some local good ice cream brands. Just now, I don't know if the local good ice cream brands are as woke as Ben and Jerry's, but right now,
Edeline Dairy. That's a
what is it?
Whatcom County one.
Eileen Dairy.
No,
okay.
Edeline.
Edeline Dairy. I've never heard of that one. Okay. I like that.
I think it was founded by Ed and Eileen, but it's Edeline.
Edeline. Okay. Yeah. It's really easy to find other ice cream brands.
I think Snoqualmie. I think there's a Snoqualmie ice cream.
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Look at us. Free commercials for you. Own an ice cream company? Free commercial for you. Free commercial for you. Kevin says, has Inslee started working for Ben and Jerry's already? I don't know. I wonder where Inslee will work after his term is up. Probably something climate related, right? I'm sure he'll start some like climate pack or climate committee or something like that.
It'd be okay if he just retired.
He should just retire.
Go on vacation.
His wife is such a nice lady, Trudy. Go hang out on Bainbridge Island and just ride your bike. He likes riding his bike. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to go away, Nicole. That's not very nice. Just go away from politics.
That's what I mean.
Okay, good. On cocaine and whether it's Hunter Biden's or not, Jill said, I don't think it's Hunter's. I think that drug use is a don't ask, don't tell situation at the White House. Not sure during Trump's tenure, but I think it's the norm there. Yeah, and I'm not saying no one in Trump's inner circle or orbit has ever done cocaine ever, but they didn't get caught bringing it into the White House if they had it there. And I just think that we ought to have and expect some consistent, intellectually honest coverage from the media. Is that so much? Is that really so much to ask? Tiffany said, it's definitely Hunter's. I guess we'll find out, right? Matthew said, Eric Clapton responded to Meghan McCain's tweet about cocaine at the White House. She don't lie. She don't lie. Is that a song?
I guess.
From Eric Clapton?
It must be.
I don't know how to sing it, or I'd sing it for you. Just said, I don't care about this crap. What are they distracting us from? That's a good point, too. Although you think they could find a better distraction than cocaine at the White House because it makes them look bad. But Charlie writes, I think the cocaine was Joe's. He meant to take it with him, but forgot where he left it. Highly doubt the cocaine is Joe Biden's. I'm not sure that he would be able to survive a bump of cocaine in his state. That's not very nice, but I highly doubt it. Okay, more on ice cream. Oh, more ice cream brands. Mm-hmm. Mugshot.
ESP, sorry.
ESP. Oh, yeah, because that's Daniel. He's got a weird YouTube handle. Daniel says Lopez Island has ice cream, an ice cream brand, Lopez Island. Aaron says Olympic Mountain ice cream. Oh, my gosh. Was that in his comment?
Yes.
Olympic Mountain ice cream. OMG. Oh, my gosh. It must be good. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. See, we don't need Ben and Jerry's.
Duffy says, hey, Haagen-Dazs and 7-Eleven.
Well, yeah.
We are trying to promote
local. We're trying to promote local. We're giving free commercials to local ice cream companies to blast Ben and Jerry's, even Shauna, though it's so delicious.
Really quick, Shauna has a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Brandy, have you seen a UFO yourself?
No. Oh, thank you for asking. No, I haven't.
I just mentioned that I thought last night that we might have been catching a little UFO show because there was a stream of, what'd you call them?
I'm pretty sure it's Starlink.
Yeah, the Starlink satellites going by. Yeah. That is really crazy. And it was right above all of the fireworks. I'm like, I think we're being taken over by UFOs.
Fingers
right
crossed.
There. It was about, I mean, there was probably 15, 20.
Yeah, because that happens every once in a while where they're right in a row and it looks really weird.
It's
but I'm
crazy.
Pretty sure it's Starlink. Now, I can't confirm in that exact instance, but what you described sounds like Starlink.
Like,
and this show has turned into a show about UFOs. We're giving George Norrie a run for his money. Shauna also said, Brandy, I'm starting my Eastside weight loss journey next week in preparation for my wedding. Woo! Yeah, good. I mean, I did it right in the 2 months leading up to before I went dress shopping, and it was awesome. So good for you. You know,
good luck.
There's no other day that you want to feel your absolute best.
Let us know how it goes.
Wedding. Yeah, let us know how it goes. And if you need any, if you need to commiserate with anyone, because it's not easy, you send us a message, Shauna, and we'll commiserate together. Mm-hmm. Before we get to sanity check, our closing sanity check, can we just talk about our meet and greet a little bit?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a little round of, I think, appearances on some local radio shows this week. I didn't tell you that, but we'll book those to talk about this Enumclaw event that we're holding. So we've been doing a series of meet and greets across Washington State. This will be our fourth one. Opportunity to say hello, but also we hope that you'll want to sign Referendum 101, which will send Senate Bill 5599 to voters. So Friday, this Friday, from 3 to 6 p.m., we're going to be at Headworks Brewing in Enumclaw. Headworks Brewing in Enumclaw. Come say hello, grab a beer, run in, run out if you can't stay very long. And then afterwards, there's their classic car cruise, which is a classic car parade through downtown Enumclaw. So I am confident that we can get 1,000 signatures at this event. We need everyone in the Tri-County region to show up. If you have not signed Referendum 101, you're running out of time to do it. The signatures need to be back in around July 15th in order to be processed and counted to see where they're at. So what I'm hoping is that not only are you guys going to show up to sign it, but we'll also have extra copies of Referendum 101 to give you if you feel like you can get 2 family members, 3 family members, or if you feel like you can get all 20 signatures filled out. That's huge, because if we have 1,000 of you come and sign, and then each of you take a sheet and get 3 signatures, that's 3,000 signatures, just like that. So please come. Nicole will be posing in a bikini on an old classic car. Confirmed?
I guess they'll have to show up to find out.
Yes, you'll have to show up to find out, but then we're gonna be cruising down in a little classic car. I didn't ask if you wanted to do that, but if you don't, I'll do it by myself. Clue, she's like, why do you surprise me with these things?
Are there tinted windows?
And then commit me to doing car. Things that I might not want to do. No, that what would be the point of sitting in the classic car with tinted windows?
That you couldn't see me.
Yeah, but that's the point is seeing you.
Stick my arm out the window.
Oh, gosh. So we're going to be there. I would love to see you. This is the last meet and greet that we're going to do. It's the last one my schedule really allows for. I don't know if Referendum 101 is going to be successful. They need 200,000 signatures. We're not in charge of the Referendum 101 campaign. It's being run by a woman named Dawn Land. And so all we are basically volunteers who just want to restore sanity to the state and restore parental rights to parents before things get even worse. I'm hopeful we'll get enough signatures. And then I think the real work begins of trying to combat what will be a massive disinformation campaign from Democrats who support that Senate bill, who will tell everyone and try to convince everyone that if you vote to repeal it, you're a transphobe. If you vote to repeal it, you hate trans kids. And that's not what this is about. So as hard as it's going to be to reach that 200,000 signature threshold by mid-July, it's going to be even harder to combat the disinformation and the gaslighting that will follow in the lead up to Senate Bill 5599 being decided by voters in November, which is what we all hope for. So there's a lot of work ahead. The least you can do, yes, I'm gonna shame you a little bit, is show up to a brewery on a Friday. We're really asking a lot of people, Nicole. We're really asking a lot of you. Come to a brewery and hang out with us on Friday and then just put pen to paper. And a big thank you to Headworks for hosting us for this final of our meet and greets. I hope to see every single one of you there. This flyer's on my social media pages. Please, please share it.
I just have to read one comment really quick.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Because we're getting mass shamed for not knowing the lyrics to the Eric Clapton song, oh, okay. Cocaine.
Oh, cocaine.
And then he says the lie line.
Hold on.
Anyway, people are eye rolling at us.
Oh, my God. Wait, where did that comment go? Cocaine. She don't lie. She don't lie. I know the song Cocaine. Yeah.
I know the song, but I don't know the song well enough to pull that out of
Listen,
it.
Listen, guys, I can't make myself older. I am who I am. Although some of you thought I was 63 when my birthday was on Sunday, which is 35, okay? 35. Anyway. Last time I tell people I'm older than I actually am. That really backfired on me. Okay, let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? Thank you. So we are expecting Dave Ryker to announce his gubernatorial bid at any time. Could come as early as tomorrow. So we're going to be monitoring that, of course. If it happens tomorrow, we'll be talking about it on the podcast. We will work to get him in ASAP after he makes that announcement. When he does, I've said it's going to become a two-person race, I think, fairly quickly. Now, what that means for other candidates in the race, I don't know. I'm not telling anyone to drop out. I just think money is going to dry up for some of the more moderate candidates who have entered the race on the Democratic side, and certainly for the other Republican candidates. But as it becomes a two-person race, then we're in full campaign season. And I just want to remind everyone not to lose their sanity in 2023 over the 2024 election. It is ridiculous the place that we've gotten to, where we've got two-year election cycles, 18-month election cycles. I even think a one-year election cycle is a little bit absurd. But we saw, for instance, with Bob Ferguson, the day that a fellow Democrat launched a challenge to his gubernatorial run, he was out with attack ads. The same exact day, and we're going to see that in earnest. Now, Dave Ryker, I will not be intellectually dishonest with you guys. I would like to see Dave Ryker run. I'm glad that he's running. I think he has a chance to win. But when you have someone like Dave Ryker, who could be the best hope Republicans have had of winning the governor's office in 40 years, I want you to think about for a second how vicious the attack ads are going to be, how swift the attack ads are going to be, how stiff the spending is going to be against Dave Ryker to prevent that from happening. And I'm not saying Republicans aren't going to give it right back to Bob Ferguson. I'm sure there will be some very colorful PAC ads against Attorney General Bob Ferguson. But I think we all just have to keep our wits about us, remind ourselves that what we're seeing on TV, the flyers that we're getting, probably aren't in touch with reality. In fact, I always tell people the thing you can do to maintain your sanity in an election cycle is you take those flyers out of your mailbox, throw them in the recycling. Out of your mailbox, throw them in the recycling. Don't even read the things. Because I'll tell you, there are very few flyers I have seen in 15 years or so covering politics that haven't been in some way dishonest, in some way deceitful. And so I think it's people who I think watch and listen to this show are independent thinkers. And so I know when you see an ad, when you read an ad, you're always thinking, is this honest? Are they gaslighting me? Even if it's a candidate that you like or dislike. The challenge is, I think, to remind all of our friends, all of our family, to talk them through ads they might be seeing, things they might be hearing about political candidates, and to really try to get everyone in that mindset of looking at every dollar spent, every ad, with an independent mind. Because I think if this race is run on the merits and on what both candidates can do to improve our state, I think Dave Ricart can truly win. And I think at this moment, that would be the best thing for Washington State. So keep your wits about you. Keep your sanity intact. Be engaged in the election cycle as much as you want, but don't let it steal your happiness for the next year and a half. This is going to be a long and vicious cycle, not only at the state level, but also at the federal level. So protect your sanity, okay? Because no one else will. And that has been our sanity check for today and today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. Again, join us in Enumclaw on Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. For our fourth and final meet and greet. Come sign Referendum 101. Tell all your friends to do it as well. If you've not become a subscriber to the show already, please sign up. It's just $5 a month. We could really use the support to continue to do this full time. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com. We'll see you back on the live show tomorrow.